Looking at Matthew chapter number 6. Jesus is speaking, so that gets everybody's attention, right? And when you fast, he said, don't make it obvious as the hypocrites do. For they try to look miserable and disheveled so people will admire them for their fasting. I tell you the truth, that is the only reward they will ever get. But when you fast, comb your hair, wash your face, then no one will notice that you are fasting except your Father, who knows what you do in private. And your Father, who sees everything, will reward you. So, Father, release to us the power and anointing of your Holy Spirit, because we are tackling spiritual forces of darkness. But we will win, because you are with us. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. God wants Calvary Christian Center to go to a new dimension in him. In doing so, I state that always with the caveat, remembering that new levels bring new devils. And we have a goal going to that new dimension. I think it's clearly defined in God's word for his church. It's the promised land for his church. In other words, a place where the fulfillment and destiny that God has for his body comes to completion and fruition. He has it all mapped out, the strategy, the implementation, the journey, the preparation, and we've not been ready to step into it as yet. And in the meantime, the enemy has attacked, all hell's broken loose, and there isn't anyone here who hasn't felt and experienced the effects of a satanic attack in your life and family. But I know that I know this is the time for Calvary Christian Center to unite in fasting and prayer and kick Satan out of here, because we're going to take the land the Lord promised us. And the key to success will be our uniting, fasting and praying as a body as we have never done before in our history. And some ask, well, what do you mean by fasting? In this passage, you'll learn what the word has to say will happen when we begin to fast and pray. And it's not just location of a food issue or located related to food. Some fasting requires that we just get all junk out of our lives, including junk food, right? There's a lot of junk in people's lives, even in the church that we are a part of today. In this text, Jesus is speaking about those who are making a show of their fasting. They want to make a parade out of it. They want some kind of reward for doing it, to get attention, superior spirituality, because I'm doing this. And Jesus said, no, you just go about it as if everything were normal. You wash your hair. You clean yourself up. You go about life. You still go to work. You still get things done that need to get done. You don't look miserable, but rather exuberant, because you know God's about to answer your requests. And we must begin to fast and pray as we've never done in our history, not only for ourselves, but for the body of Christ and for the state and for our nation. You see, sooner or later, you as an individual or a family are going to encounter a situation so unmovable, so huge, so overwhelming, the only way you're going to find deliverance is through the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit. The only way there's going to be supernatural intervention of the Holy Spirit is to pay a price for him to move. That means we have to press in. I'm speaking of the deep manifestation of the miracle-working power of God, and that never comes cheaply. There's always a price for that. Vessels must purge themselves. There's stuff that needs to go. Cleanse ourselves. Importantly, humble ourselves. If the anointing and supernatural power of God is going to manifest, those are prerequisites. And Jesus is saying to us, he's already begun the work of moving mountains. That's what he does. Amen? He moves what seems to be unmovable. Well, how are they moved? As you fast and pray, the anointing of the Holy Spirit increases in your life. You're able to speak to those mountains because you've got boldness and confidence, and they move in Jesus' name. Perhaps you're battling disease in your body. Perhaps you have a marital problem in your home. You have a child in rebellion who is addicted, a financial crisis, a crisis on the job. The enemy has attacked individuals here at Calvary Christian Center and targeted the body of Christ. I want to declare to you that the only weapon that will give us breakthrough is fasting and prayer. I'm sent here with a word for this body this morning. And the first point I want to make is this. Fasting is not something for fanatics or overly enthusiastic people who step off the deep end. That's not what it's about. Fasting was and is a normal part of the New Testament believer's lifestyle. And I've got some proof of that for you from God's Word. But before I go there, Matthew 6 gives us three principles that all believers need to practice. If you call yourself a follower of Jesus, read Matthew 6. Matthew 6 is the outline of what a follower of Jesus looks like. Have you ever wondered what's the difference between people who go to church and a follower of Jesus? Well, read Matthew 6. There are three practices that Jesus says every believer, every follower practices and demonstrates. Number one, in Matthew 6 and 2, therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, as they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. So what does that mean? Believers are givers, and they do it with a humbleness, with thanksgiving, to honor God to the best of the ability God's given them. Secondly, in Matthew 6, 5, when you pray, don't be like hypocrites who love to pray publicly on street corners and in the synagogues where everyone can see them. Well, what is that telling us? Once again, with a humble heart, we consistently communicate, we have fellowship with the Lord, believers pray. Number three, Matthew 6 and 16, and when you fast, believers fast. They make sacrifice. Jesus didn't say, if you give, if you pray, if you fast. He said, if you are a follower, this is not optional. You do all three. As a matter of fact, this is how Jesus kind of pulls it all together. I warn you, unless your righteousness is better than the righteousness of the teachers of religious law and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. So if we want the power New Testament believers possessed, not the religious spirit the Pharisees had, we'd better practice the principles of believers. If we desire the favor of those followers that they had in the book of Acts, God's supernatural intervention, the blessing of the Holy Spirit, if we want to see that kind of spiritual breakthrough where we say, no, devil, you will not take members of my family. No, devil, that disease will not take me prematurely. If we want to see things turn for the good, we're going to have to learn how to be givers. We're going to have to learn how to pray. And we're going to have to learn how to fast. That's what Jesus tells us. We have to humble ourselves to do any and all three of those. Because that kills pride. When we say, Lord, I will pray. I will be at the next meeting. I will gather myself daily and pray. I will show up to pray. I will fast. I will do what I need to do to get myself in the position for your favor and blessings. I will be a giver. I will learn to put you first. I will honor you by humbling myself and doing what you asked, because I need your favor. It was a normal matter in the New Testament church to do these things, to give, to pray, and to fast. Read the book of Acts. You only have to go through the first 10 chapters, and you'll see them doing all three of these and the great favor of God that came on them. This was not some fanatical thing that the people did. Jesus over and over again fasted. His disciples fasted. Paul fasted for 3 days. 5 different times you'll read Paul fasted. Moses fasted. Elijah fasted. Joshua fasted. Daniel fasted. The whole nation of Israel fasted for 3 days at the call of Queen Esther because they needed deliverance from a demonic attack to kill the whole nation off. The nation was threatened with annihilation by Haman. He had targeted all the Israelis, and they called for a fast for 3 days. The result was Haman hung on the gallows that he built to destroy the Israelis. The weapon he devised to destroy Israel was turned against him. So what would happen in our church if every follower of Jesus would pray and fast and give this week? We would see God move like we've never known him to move before. We would take the satanic attacks and turn them back on him. Throughout the word, people who believed fasted, and God supernaturally moved as a result. Well, when you say fast, Pastor, define that? Well, first of all, we have materials for you, both online and in print. You can collect some of those online or out in the lobby. But I'm going to give you an overview of what it means. When we speak of fasting, we're speaking about crucifying king flesh because he needs to be put to death. Have you ever met king flesh? Yeah. Look at your belly and he'll introduce himself to you. Yeah. So if you're going to fast, the reason it seems distasteful for you to fast is because king flesh rules in your life, starting with the stomach. It's going to be rough, so hang on and fasten the belt. Think about it. Look at what king flesh has done to the human race. Eve is in the Garden of Eden. He's got multiplicity of fruit trees and nut trees to participate and enjoy, and she's tempted with the one forbidden fruit from that one tree. She takes it, and what? What did she do with it? She ate it. Where did it go first? From her mouth into her stomach. Then she goes to her weak husband Adam and says, "Here, you have some too. This is good." And they literally ate themselves out of house and home that day. Okay? They were kicked out of that garden and started that downfall that still affects all of us today. All because of their sin that started with disobedience, and it manifested in the taking the one thing God said, "Do not touch that." Look at Sodom and Gomorrah. The church picks at the one sin of Sodom and Gomorrah, homosexuality. It was not just one sin that God was fed up with concerning them. He listed their sins. It's in Ezekiel. Sodom's sins were pride, gluttony, and laziness, while the poor and needy suffered outside her door. She was proud and committed detestable sins. So I wiped her out, as you have seen. Look at the story of Esau. Next in line for godly inheritance in the lineage of Abraham, he sold his birthright because of allegiance to King Flesh. He had been hunting. He came home very hungry. And his brother Jacob had been cooking a huge pot of beans. And you could smell the aroma for a mile. And Esau comes home and he's hungry. And he said, "I'm so hungry, I'll give you anything for a bowl of those beans." And Jacob, being an opportunist, said, "Tell you what, give me your birthright and I'll give you all of the beans," right? Esau said, "Deal." And King Fleshman was speaking, so he dove into the beans, and the history of the Jewish race turned on the decision of one man's stomach. That's pretty wild, isn't it? Then there was Israel. God allowed the death of hundreds of thousands of Israelis for one reason: king flesh, stomach. They're in the wilderness. Do you remember what they did when they were in the wilderness? I mean, it's a common phrase that God reveals about their behavior. What did they do a lot of in the wilderness? Murmured and complained. Literally belly aching, okay? "We don't like the food that God's cooking in his bakery. We don't like it. We wish we could go back to the flesh pots of Egypt. We like what they fed us, and we don't like the food that you feed us every day. Mom, when your kids sit down to dinner and says, "What's this?" What's your response? I know what it was in the house I grew up in, okay? This bunch is something else in the wilderness. God's feeding them angels' food every single day. Calculations say it's about 2,600 tons every day that God gave them to eat, delivered like Domino's pizza. All they had to do was go and pick it up and eat it. That's all they had to do. And here's the great thing about this food. It was such a well-balanced meal. God constructed it just for them. I wish I could get the recipe. I mean, I would love to know what he put into this. I mean, it was so nutritious when they ate it. It sustained them for four decades in the wilderness without much else. And as long as they ate it, they were free of disease and they were blessed. What was in that food? No sickness. They were so healthy. It was amazing to everybody who came in contact with them. Healthy, full of life and vigor. Then they begin the litany of complaints. And no matter what God did for them, they had a complaint. We want meat. We don't like this food anymore. So here's what happened. They made the cook angry. Never make the cook angry. Man, don't ever do that. Okay? Learn the lesson. Because God was the cook for his people, their provider. He's Jehovah Jireh. So God said, fine. Okay? They ate the food of angels. God gave them all they could hold. He released the east wind in the heavens and guided the south wind by his mighty power. And he blows in from the coast all these quail. He rains down meat as thick as dust, birds as plentiful as the sand of the seashore. He caused the birds to fall within their camp and all around their tents. And the people ate their fill, and he gave them what they craved. But before they satisfied their craving, while the meat was yet in their mouths, the anger of God rose against them, and he killed their strongest men. He struck down the finest of Israel's young men. He caused the wind to bring all these quail to eat, and when they had flesh in their mouths, he killed some of them. Now, what a message you could develop out of that statement right there. When they had the flesh in their mouth, God dispatched them. That's what King Flesh will do to you. He will rob you of the favor and the blessings of God. Do you know why the devil doesn't want you to fast? Because fasting releases God's supernatural favor. When you begin to fast, what happens is you come into a favor relationship with God. When you begin to fast, your spirit becomes aware of things going on in the spirit realm, and demons will take note of you because they sense and see you are now in the flow of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And when you fast, the natural man diminishes. The natural desires diminish. And the spirit man stands up inside of you, and the Holy Spirit shows you things you've never seen before. And here's how much Satan fears your fasting. In this chapter, Jesus has been on a 40-day fast. And Satan comes to Jesus and tests him. Why did Satan come to test Jesus during the fast? To attempt to get Jesus to break the fast. Why? Because miracles are always the aftermath of fasting. Always. You can expect at the end of 21 days of fasting and praying and giving that God is going to affect miracles. Miracles always follow fasting. Prove that, Pastor. Well, here you go. Satan said, take these stones and turn them into bread. Jesus was hungry. Fresh bread would taste amazing, wouldn't it? Because Satan knew if he could get Jesus to get off this intense fasting relationship with the Father that he was in, he would short-circuit Jesus' power. But Jesus refused the temptation to come away from the fast. And the word records in Matthew 4, Jesus had gone into the wilderness, directed by the Holy Spirit, there fasting for 40 days. And in Luke, you see what happens after the fast ends and the power of Satan is broken and he departs from Jesus. Now watch in Luke 4, then Jesus returned to Galilee, filled with the Holy Spirit's power. Reports about him spread quickly through the whole region. He taught regularly in the synagogues and was praised by everyone. So for the first time in his 30 years of existence, Jesus begins to perform miracles. He's now walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. What happened? The aftermath of fasting, miracles every single time. So what about fasting? What is it? Let me say first what fasting is not. Fasting is not Christian dieting. Okay. Dieting in the name of Jesus is not fasting. Okay. And then some will say, oh, well, I'm on a partial fast, Pastor, which means they're fasting in their interpretation from midnight till 7 a.m. That's not partial fasting. Okay. Who you kidding? Well, Pastor, I fasted all night long. Yeah, sure. You slept. It's not fasting. Fasting is not stuffing yourself before you fast, okay? That's not fasting. No, that defeats the purpose. Fasting is not getting up and cramming yourself like a hog and getting all you can get into your body. You eat 12 pancakes and 6 eggs, then a huge In-N-Out package that you stop in and grab, and then you fast the supper dinner hour with an Alka-Seltzer. That's not fasting, okay? It's not fasting. That's what the Muslims do with Ramadan. They fast all day, and then as soon as the sun goes down, they eat till they go to bed. That's not fasting. If you're going to fast, you just fast and pray. It's real simple. What's fasting? Fasting is doing without specific food under God's direction for a specific amount of time. Okay? It's doing without specific food under God's direction for a specific amount of time. And I will add to that, that there may be things in your life that God wants you to get rid of, to offload, not just some specific foods, okay? Because it's not really about just the food. There are several fasts mentioned in God's word. Number one, there's a fast known as the normal fast. The normal fast is when you do without food for a specific period of time, usually a short period of time. You drink liquids, filtered water, fruit juices, and that's between you and the Lord, and you work out the details of how he structures that. A normal fast is when you abstain from solid foods for a specific period of time. But don't become dehydrated as a part of that process, because that is a dangerous thing to do by not taking in any liquids. And you could have serious medical issues if you do that, and you certainly are going to get weakened, so you have no strength to even bother to pray. So make sure you have liquids if you fast solid foods. Number two, in God's word, there's an absolute fast. Now, you don't, on that fast, you drink nothing and nor do you eat anything. Now, I do not recommend you do this fast unless specifically you know God told you to do this kind of fast. Because in Acts 9, there's a great example of a total fast. And talking about Paul, he was 3 days without sight and neither ate nor drank. But you understand the circumstances. Paul was riding on his high horse. Jesus intersects him and knocks him off his horse. And Paul is blinded as Jesus appears to him. And upon getting to his destination, he neither ate nor drank for 3 days. That's a total fast. I'm saying, don't go on a total fast unless God knocks you off your horse and you go blind for 3 days. Because your body can only go so long without water. So you better know God told you to do that. Use wisdom. Number three, there's a partial fast. What does that mean? That's when you abstain from desserts and heavy foods. One of the best examples is found in the book of Daniel. King of Babylon brings his meats and rich foods to be eaten by the Hebrews, and most of these meats had been offered to idols. So here's how it reads. Now, from among those of the sons of Judah were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. To them, the chief of the eunuchs gave names. He gave Daniel the name Belteshazzar, to Hananiah, Shadrach, to Mishael, Meshach, and to Azariah, Abednego. These decided not to eat the meats offered by the king. They were not going to eat the king's food because it wasn't a matter of being rude. In fact, they were very respectful to the king. They would not eat these foods because they had been offered to idols, and they were prohibited from doing that because those idols were demonic, and those sacrifices they were going to eat had been offered to demon spirits. So they only ate vegetables and drank water. Now, here's the result. As for these four young men, God gave them knowledge and skill in all literature and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. God rewarded them for their willingness to put God first. And the word says they appealed to the king. They said, take a before and after picture of us. We want you to capture this. So let's do some FaceTiming here. We won't eat your food, but watch how our God takes care of us because we're honoring him. They said, you feed all your people the way you normally do. We're going to eat the way we normally eat. At the end of 10 days, let's see who looks healthier, your people or us. So they fasted. At the end of those 10 days, see, it wasn't Nutrisystem. They didn't sign up with the Osmond girl. But after 10 days, listen, in that walk, in the 10 days, they walked into the king's, listen, before the king's people, and they begin this measuring up and looking at the effects of the two, and they've eaten so well, the king's people have enjoyed themselves, but at the end of the 10 days, their features appeared better and fatter in flesh than all the young men who ate the portion of the king's delicacies. So God blessed them with health, God blessed them with insight and skill levels beyond their own, and God gave Daniel supernatural insight that very few have ever had throughout the Holy Scripture, because they fasted and put the Lord first. Miracles always follow fasting. Number four, there's the Daniel fast, and that's what I'm calling our church to do, a Daniel fast. Daniel needed an answer from God as he was searching the heart of God, because he needed to present an answer and begin to prophesy over what was going to happen in that day and in the future. He needed an answer. He's under a great burden, and he's fasting a certain way for 21 days while he's waiting for this answer to come. There's a battle in the heavenlies above him between the demonic spirit over that part of the world, and finally God sends Michael, his warrior angel, to take down that spirit over that area of the world so the answer could come. In fact, the angel tells Daniel, God gave the answer the moment you prayed. But it's been held up because this devil has been keeping the answer from you. But today, now you have your answer. So he's fasting and waiting before God, and it goes on for 21 days. But he was humble before the Lord. The posture of his heart was that of humility. Food or any other flesh, king, whatever that might be in your life, media, movies, sporting events, whatever the Holy Spirit fingers in your heart, that needs to be set aside for a period, because you need to draw near to me. And when you draw near to me, I will draw near to you, God says. Show me your glory, prayer of Moses. Well, he will, and he will reveal his character to you. So here's how it reads. When this vision came to me, I, Daniel, had been in mourning for 3 whole weeks. I was under this burden. I need to know what this means. All that time I had eaten no rich food, no meat or wine crossed my lips. For humbling himself, God bestowed favor on Daniel. Daniel, at the end of the fast of 21 days, here's what God says about him. You are very precious to God. That's what a statement to have the angel of the Lord make about you. You are very precious to God. The angel of the Lord says this to Daniel. God knows how to take care of you when you begin to fast. So a fast is to abstain from certain food under God's direction for a specific amount of time. And you can also add to that, and even substitute for that, some other matters that you know need to go in your life. They need to be put on hold. When Ezekiel needed God to intervene, here's what he ate until he got an answer. He put himself on this diet. Take for yourself wheat, barley, beans, lentils, millet, and spelt. Put them into one vessel and make bread of them for yourself. That's how he was able to maintain his nutrition and keep up his health while he was waiting for God to answer. As an added bonus, fasting is very healthy for your physical body. It's proven by medical science. And some people say, well, I go on a fast, but every single time I start fasting, I get these really bad headaches the devil gives me. Well, the devil will attack just like he did Jesus. When fasting, the toxins in your body are released. So drink filtered water and flush yourself out while you're fasting. Fasting is like spring cleaning for your body. The pores of your body are cleansed. Your mouth is cleansed. Your lungs are cleansed. Your kidneys and liver are cleansed. Your digestive tract is cleansed. There are benefits of fasting. It produces favor with God. Anybody here want God's favor in your life? God loves every one of us, but he will favor those who press in beyond just going through the routine. I want his favor. It will provide you and your family divine protection. In Ezra 8, he's taking silver and gold to the temple in Jerusalem, and he's traveling a very dangerous road that's filled with robbers and bandits. So here's what Ezra did. He proclaimed a fast. Then I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ahava, that we might humble ourselves before God to seek him the right way for us and our little ones and all our possessions. You see, you need to get serious about your family, serious about what God's trusted you with and stewarded you with, and start fasting and praying about it. And he got a result. So we fasted and entreated our God for this, and he answered our prayer. Brings favor. So when you fast and pray, you can proclaim divine protection for you and your family. He did it for Ezra. He'll do it for you. We should fast this way for our loved ones who are deployed, that they'll have divine protection, that they'll come back safely. Amen? Spiritual gifts manifest when we're fasting. Listen to how the gift of prophecy manifested through fasting and praying. It says in Acts 13, as they ministered to the Lord, that's worship. They're worshiping God. They're loving the Lord and giving themselves fully to the Lord and fasted. They added fasting to their worship. The Holy Spirit said, so he speaks in the middle of this, now separate me, to me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work for which I've called them. A gift of the Spirit manifested while they fasted. This can be the difference between defeat or victory in your life and for the church as well. God calls us to fast and to pray. It averts problems, and it protects by bringing the favor of God. Deliverance from demonic attack comes from fasting and prayer. Jesus himself declared this. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, and he said to it, deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more. See the authority Jesus operated with? Not just get the devil out of him, but don't you dare come back here. Don't you ever come back. Then the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, and came out of him. And he became as a dead man, so that many said, he's dead. And Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he had come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, because they've been trying to do this for this young man, why could we not cast this spirit out? And he said to them, this kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting. If you want the spirit of darkness broken, you're going to have to add fasting to your praying. If you're up against the spirit devouring your life, destroying your home, you've tried everything and all that you know to do, you need to fast and pray, because these spirits only respond to power. A power ministry happens through fasting and prayer. And when you have the supernatural favor of God working in you, then the yoke of bondage is destroyed because of the anointing. So deliverance from unclean habits come by fasting and prayer. If you're bound by drugs, alcohol, nicotine, porn, fast and pray for supernatural deliverance. Supernatural power is released. Is this not the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke, to loose slaves from their bondage, from addiction, from rebellion in their hearts, from perversion on the internet, perversion in the movie theater? What will turn it around? When the church gets down to business and fasts and prays and beats back the gates of hell and takes back what belongs to us through the power of the Holy Spirit, seeking Jesus through fasting and praying. Bonds of wickedness are broken when the church fasts and prays. How many here at Calvary are ready to break the back of demonic attack? How many want to break the back of the adversary? I want to see him broken. Then join me for 21 days of fasting and praying. If you really want victory, it's available. So many go around in life, even in the church, bound by spirits of fear and depression, and walk around defeated and beaten down. There comes the time, and it's today, we have to break that evil spirit. When Daniel wanted to know about the future, he went on a fast, and God revealed to him the whole grand picture. One Jewish boy, humbled before God, fasting and praying. You know that only he and John the Apostle are the only two that God favored with revelation of what the end of days is going to look like in detail. And it's not by coincidence that Daniel was one of the two, because he prayed every day, three times a day, second in command of the Babylonian Empire, yet he's serving God with all of his heart. He stops what he's doing. He gets away from his work three times a day, and he prays. No wonder God was giving him information. And he did that for full 70 years of his life, from the age of 15 to 85, three times a day while he was held in captivity. Now he goes on a fast, and God gives him the picture of what the end of days is going to look like. God's favor is released when we fast and pray. God can show you his plan for your future through fasting and prayer. And the greatest miracles I've ever witnessed in ministry is when I or someone around me has been on a fast. There I've seen release the power of Almighty God, having fasted, laying hands on the person diseased, commanding a spirit of infirmity to leave, total deliverance in an instant. It brings supernatural intervention because you've unclogged all the pipes that prevent the power of the Spirit from flowing through you. Demons run when you are fasting and praying. Spiritual warfare happens when you fast and pray, and his church defeats the gates of hell. And we only pull down strongholds and destroy principalities with weapons that God has provided. We tried to invent our own. I've got good logic. Well, I go by my feelings because I'm a Jedi. Well, really? This is not done in human ability. It's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts, which means all angel armies are released toward you to help you. You don't go hunting Satan with a stick, but with weapons of spiritual warfare. And these weapons break the back of satanic assault. It's fasting, praying, giving, having a humble heart before the Lord. Amen? On a fast, you are sensitive to the Holy Spirit. I mean, it's like a sensitivity you have never had in your life. and you walk out of a room where they're talking trash, because whereas before you might have hung around, now that sensitivity says you don't belong in here. You turn off the TV or you walk away from it when they're trashing your God or using foul language, and you go, that is not going to get in my spirit. Because the channel between you and God is open when you're fasting and praying. Your spirit man has come alive. Your faith has risen. You are in confidence because now you have humbled yourself. It's interesting, isn't it? When you humble yourself, you get up off the floor of humility with confidence toward your God. You walk in and say, Almighty God, I'm at your service. What is it you require? God then grants you what you ask because you become precious in the sight of the Lord. Who's tired of the devil running all over you? Anybody sick and tired of that? Anybody want this year to be your breakout and breakthrough? If you are and you're willing to fast and pray, look, you can walk in here with an expectancy that moves all of heaven because you're willing for 21 days to make some sacrifices as God directs you, some of which will be food products. Doesn't mean you don't eat. It means the things you eat, you're very selective about, because you're also getting your body into subjection. Instead of your body ruling you, you rule it, and you teach it to obey what God wants, not what it wants. And it may be other matters, as I pointed out, that the Holy Spirit says, you know, it might not be so much this chicken breast that you want to eat, that's the problem. It's this other stuff over here that you just won't let go of. And I want you, through fasting and praying and humbling yourself, to drop it and stop it and draw close to me. You will rise in victory in 2019. And it hinges on whether or not we do what God asks us to do. God's ready. God's willing. God wants nothing more for His church than to rise in great spiritual power and cleansing and righteousness and confidence and walk in His authority. He wants that more than we do. But when we agree with Him, that's what I want. There's some things He's going to ask me to do to show Him how much I want Him to move in my life. Anybody here tired of the devil's attacks? He's calling you, the Lord is, to fasting and prayer. The release you'll get will propel you and propel the church. So we honor God. I know about you. I'm angry at the devil. I'm told to be careful with anger and to use it appropriately, but I don't see in Scripture any limit on my anger toward the devil. I'm angry with him. We do not have to put up with his attacks. We need to tear down his strongholds. We need to get fed up with what he's been doing and declare all-out war on him, because we have power through what I've just preached to you today, because greater is he who is in us than he who is in this world. Amen. Stand to your feet and rejoice.